You are listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. Though located in the heart of the Silicon Valley, you will hear fervent, old-fashioned revival preaching from the pulpit of North Valley Baptist Church. It is our desire that you will be helped by this gospel message.
Joshua chapter number 24. I look forward to preaching tonight from this very familiar passage of Scripture, and I hope that you'll stay with me, and I hope that you'll stay awake. Now, if you fall asleep, it's not your fault. It's my fault. I didn't keep it interesting enough for you. I've seen already some people, I'm sure they're not watching the basketball game that's going on right now. They're just in prayer over the message, but I'm sure we're all engaged and ready to go. But from this point forward, it's up to me. So Joshua chapter number 24, you can read silently. I'll read aloud. Let's all stand in honor of God's word tonight. Joshua 24, beginning in verse number 13. And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not. And you dwelt in them. Of the vineyards and oliveyards have you planted. Do you not eat? Do not ye eat? Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt, from the house of bondage, which did those great signs in our sight and preserved us all in all the way wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from before us all the people, even the Amorites, which dwelt in the land. Therefore will we also serve the Lord, for he is our God. And Joshua said unto the people, ye cannot serve the Lord, for he is a holy God. He is a just God, a jealous God. He will not forgive your transgressions nor your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you. After that he hath done you good. And the people said unto Joshua, nay, but we will serve the Lord. And Joshua said unto the people, ye are witnesses against yourselves that ye have chosen you the Lord to serve him. And they said, we are witnesses. Now therefore put away, said he, the strange gods which are among you, and incline your heart unto the Lord, the God of Israel. And the people said unto Joshua, the Lord our God will we serve, and his voice will we obey. So Joshua made a covenant with the people that day, and set them a statute and an ordinance in Shechem. Let's pray. God in heaven, I pray tonight that you would hide me behind the cross. I pray that I would not say anything that I'm not supposed to say. I thank you for the good people of North Valley Baptist Church being here tonight. I thank you for those that have tuned in online. I pray, Lord, that what is said from this pulpit tonight will give you honor and glory and praise. In your name we ask, amen. You may be seated. What Joshua is doing in this passage of Scripture, you may have already figured out. He's doing something. And as you think about that, I'll let you think about that for just a minute, but he's doing something for the people. Every man today that got up, maybe perhaps you did it yesterday, you shined your shoes and you washed your car, you were doing the very same thing that Joshua is doing right here. Every lady last night that perhaps got Sunday dinner prepared early and is ready to get that served on time on Sunday. And we thank the Lord for the ladies that prepare those meals. And maybe you're sitting out there tonight and you say, well, that's not us. We go out to eat on Sundays. That's our deal. And some people are shaking their heads. I don't understand is I go out to eat on Sundays and I forget that Chick-fil-A is closed. I mean, that's just a heartache. But I have a great idea next week's Senior Cafe. If they will just order a day early and keep those ready for us, and we can sell those after church, that'll be a great fundraiser. That'll be a modern-day miracle, eating Chick-fil-A on a Sunday, okay? So maybe that's be a good fundraiser, and that's just throwing that out there for you if you want to. Every teacher that is in here, a Sunday school teacher, you're a school teacher, you do this for your young people, for the people that are in your class. Every parent in here, you do what Joshua is doing here in the Scripture. Every parent does this, and they do it to the best of their ability. Every mechanic that comes early in the week and they prepare the buses and they go through the checklist and they spend hours and hours making sure the fleet is ready to go out to bring in boys and girls to church, they do this. The word is what they are doing. The word is preparation. Joshua was preparing the children of Israel for when he departed. He was about to die. He said, look, you're going to have to choose. You've come into the land. God has fought your battles for you. You've come into this place, the promised land that was promised years and years ago, and now it's yours, but choose you this day whom you will serve. I dare say every one of us know this passage of Scripture. Every one of us know what's going on here. But to prepare, preparation is so very important. Preparation means to make ready, to determine, to set up. Every parent in here, it's your job, it's your sacred duty to prepare your child for life. I am not a parent. Tonight, I will not speak as though I am a parent. I will speak as a youth pastor. Because tonight, I want to speak on this subject, why we have a youth conference. Why is it in 2 weeks when 1,000-plus teenagers will be roaring from these seats, and they will be here, they'll be a part of the competitions, they'll be a part of the games, they'll be a part of all the exciting things that youth conference is, why do we do that? I know one thing for sure, everything that is done here at North Valley Baptist Church is done for a reason. There's a reason for everything we do, because there's a purpose for it. There's a reason. We just don't do it. We do it for a reason. Man, we use an old-fashioned altar any chance we get so that God could do something in our hearts. There's a reason for that. It's not just so we can come down and make a show. It's so that we can come down and have God do something in our hearts. I'm so looking forward to youth conference. Pastor used the word this morning, anticipation. Man, the anticipation is there for me. I know for Robert down here, the anticipation for youth conference is coming. I appreciate that spirit. For the teenagers in our youth group, the anticipation is heightened. We're ready for youth conference. We're ready for these seats to be filled. We're ready for hard preaching. We're ready for everything that comes with youth conference. I dare say if I ask the question in here, how many of you were never able to attend a youth conference or a teen camp? Many hands would go up, and you don't have to raise them. But many of you say, you know what, I never had that opportunity as a teenager. I can say that I did. What a difference it made in my life. I loved and lived for teen camp every summer. I loved and I lived for youth conference every single summer. It was a tremendous, tremendous event, something that I looked forward to. As we look forward, as we prepare, as Joshua did with these children of Israel, as he looked forward and said, look, I'm going to be gone soon. What are you going to do? Our pastor has always said, make the decision before you have to make the decision. If you make the decision ahead of time, when that time comes, it's easy. It's a whole lot easier instead of walking up and saying, well, I'm not prepared. I didn't put any preparation in. Whether it's a test, whether it's something at work we have to accomplish, everything in life takes preparation. Everything today before the service was prayed over. It was prepared. A lot of effort was put into it. I think about a man in the Bible. His name was Rehoboam. Rehoboam, the Bible said, did evil. And the reason why, because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. You can go throughout the Bible, and the kings especially, and it'll use that phrase, they prepared not their heart, or they did prepare their heart. Samuel prepared the heart of the people so they could get ready to get sanctified, so that they get ready to go to the tabernacle and get things right with God. It's important that our pastor, and I'm so grateful that he does this, he prepares us in our life. Parents today, you are preparing your children. As a youth pastor, I want to prepare teenagers to go out, to go into life, not so that they can be successful financially, but so that they could be successful spiritually. And youth conference is a very big reason for that. You see, Joshua was preparing them for when he was gone, but he also knew this. He knew his heart. You may prepare a child, or I may prepare a young person, but I also have to know their heart, and I have to have their heart. It's so important for me as a youth pastor to try to obtain a child's heart, and it's not always given easily, and I don't think that it should be. Parents today, I'd encourage you to challenge your young people. Guard your heart. Guard your heart against influences that might deter it from the things of God, that might pull it away from a mom or a dad. I thank God so much for parents that were put in my life, God was so gracious to me that he gave me two wonderful, wonderful parents. Man, I look back now, and now that I'm out of the home, I appreciate it more, and that's usually the case. Whenever something is over, we look back with more fond memories. I look back on youth conferences and times. It was on a day, it was a hot July day, July 16th, 2007, when I was gloriously saved at a youth conference. In 2010, Get in the Game was the theme. I sat right back here where Declan Oxendine is sitting, and I sat right there, and we had an hour and a half invitation. And man, I was sitting there thinking, I'm so glad I came to youth conference. Whether you're a teenager today or whether you're an adult, we all need to be involved in this great event. We're approaching it. It's coming. May I ask you tonight to prepare, knowing today that we do everything for a reason, why do we do it? Ask yourself that question. Why do we have a youth conference? We have a youth conference and we feed over 1,000 people 3 times a day. That's a lot of food. People take off time from work and they give to it. Why do they do that? Why spend the money? Why go to Great America? Why have all the competitions and the games? Why do all of that? There's a reason, and I'd like to quickly give it to you, and I'll be done tonight. Number one, the reason we have youth conference is to rescue the next generation. We often use the phrase, reach the next generation. It's beyond reaching them. It's rescuing them. The Bible word is to deliver, to pull out. It's time in our hearts and lives that we look to the next generation and say, who's going to do something for them? Youth conference is for the next generation. It truly is. And we have seen as a church the results of that. We have seen the pastors. We have seen the pastor's wife, the youth pastor, the youth pastor's wife, the faithful Christian servants that came to a youth conference. They knelt at an altar, whether on this property or the other property, and they gave their heart and life to God. I don't know about you, but I'm so excited. I'm so prepared for, I'm so anticipating youth conference. Why? Because we want to reach the next generation. If you didn't know it, but we live in a dark day. I don't mean to discourage you today, but it's dark. The world is inviting young people every single day. It's enticing by droves and droves and droves. But what are we doing? The story is told about the S-4 submarine that went down off the coast of Massachusetts. As it went down, the divers went down to rescue. They got into their place and they were on the outside. It was really the sailors that were on the inside. It was a death trap for them. And one of the divers was able to take off the part of his mask and put his ear to the hull of that submarine. He put his ear there and he began to hear tapping. He realized because of his training that it was Morse code. And it was a slow tap, but he was able to put out the letters. And the words said this: "Is there any hope?" I'm here to tell you today that we may be this next generation's only hope. I do know that the Bible is their only hope. I know that God is their only hope. I know that the God of this Bible is their only hope. We have a youth conference to reach the next generation. The Bible word is to deliver. It is to deliver. Several different verses. Psalm 17, verse number 13 says, "Arise, O Lord, disappoint him, cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword." Can you think back to a time in your life when you need to be delivered? When you need to be delivered from a difficult situation, a perilous situation? Did you cry out to God? David did. Psalm 18, 19, "He brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me." I'm looking for a group of teenagers and young people this year at youth conference that the Lord delights in their life because of the way they live it. We don't just have standards and rules just so we can make things hard. No, we have those things so that we can live righteously before a holy and righteous God. That's why we do it. It's not to have another rule. It's not just to have another regulation. It's so that we can please our Heavenly Father. I want to rescue the next generation. This church has been in the business of rescuing the next generation for years and years now. For 43 years, we have reached out through the Christian school. We have reached out through the Bible college, through the bus ministry, through all the different avenues of this church. The main goal is to rescue the next generation. That is why we have a youth conference. Today, Sunday school teachers, we need more of them. Christian mothers and fathers, we need more of them. Bus drivers, junior church workers, special music groups, pastors, missionaries, deacons, we need more of them. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Send laborers into the harvest field. We have a youth conference so that we can go out, get more, so they can go out and do the same thing. We can reproduce that over and over and over again, but we have to be engaged. We have to be involved in this. We have a youth conference to rescue the next generation. Number two, we have a youth conference today to pass down our heritage. I'm so thankful for our heritage. What is our heritage? Our heritage is preaching from the Word of God, the King James Bible. I'm not interested to hear preaching at youth conference from any other version of the Bible than the King James Bible. It's proven itself. It's an alive book, sharper than a two-edged sword. That's why we have it. And that's why we have specific people come in that our pastor trusts and say, they're going to preach and they're going to use the Bible and they're going to pass down our heritage. Because if we don't, nobody will. I want you to take your Bibles and look there. Look in verse number 13. Look at what Joshua said to the next generation about what was being given to them. "And I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and ye dwell in them. Of the vineyards and olive yards which ye planted not, do ye eat." Is that not our generation today? So much has been given to me. So much has been given to us. But to whom much is given, much is required. God has given us so much, things that I never fought for. The standards, the blessings that are given to me as a result of a Christian heritage, it's my job to pass that on. And it's your job as well. It's the job of every single member of North Valley Baptist Church to pass what we have on, our heritage, to the next generation. Not just some church that has some sort of neo sign on the front. You know, we got all the different words that those could be. But a Baptist, an independent, fundamental, separated Baptist church. I'm not interested in anything else because of the product that it produces. We're here to pass on what we have, our heritage, to the next generation. Joshua was very direct. He was very blunt with them. He said, look, the things that you have, God gave them to you. The wars that you won, God won those wars. I can say that's true of my life. The things that I have today are as a result of someone else fighting for it. I'm not willing to let that go to the side. I'm not willing to let that go by the wayside and say, that person fought for something down the road there, but I'm going to do my own thing. No, sir. No, sir. 1,000 times, no. We got to pass on what we have to the next generation. Number one, to rescue the next generation. Number two, to pass down our heritage. Oh, I like this one. I like this one. Why do we have a youth conference? Because hard preaching produces soft hearts. Hard preaching produces soft hearts. I'm thankful for a pastor that preaches directly, that preaches strongly, that is a strong man of God, that doesn't just get up and share something from the scripture. No, he shares it in the way that the Bible said it was supposed to be done, by the foolishness of preaching. And we're going to have preaching at youth conference, I can guarantee you that. If you're a member here today and you can get here for those morning sessions, man, be here for these morning sessions. Be here for those morning sessions. If you could be here at night, man, be there for those evening services. Because what's going to happen at youth conference is we're going to have preaching. What does preaching do? Preaching changes a life. I can honestly say today, the closest I've ever felt to revival, the closest, and when I have experienced revival in my life, it's either been in a teen camp or at a youth conference. I already mentioned I got saved at a youth conference. I was saved, as I mentioned, July 16th, 2007. I was sitting up in the balcony right over there at First Baptist Church in Hammond, Indiana. The preacher was preaching. I've been struggling with my salvation. And he said, "Do you know the time and place that you got saved?" That's all he said. I really didn't hear a lot of the rest of his message. But that part struck me. I said, "Well, was it this time? Was it this time? Why?" Because I doubted my salvation. Now, if you don't doubt your salvation today, I'm not trying to get you to do that. And if you believe and say, "You know what, I've never wavered, praise the Lord for that," but I did. I wavered. And I thought, well, was it this time or was it that time? Oh, maybe I don't know. And I went down and I got it settled. My Christian school principal went with me. He said, "David, you know what to do. You know how to pray the prayer." I said, "I do, but I want to get it settled so that I can look back. I've never forgot that day because of hard preaching." I was talking to my wife yesterday. I said, "Jen, what was it about youth conference that you enjoyed the most? Was it the competitions, with just the overall craziness, everything that goes on?" And she said, honestly, she said, "It was the preaching." She goes, "Because I needed to be told to change. I wasn't going to do it on my own." Teenagers love hard preaching, I think more than adults, although I know we have some adults in here that love hard preaching as well. But teenagers love hard preaching. That's why we bring it. That's why we put it in the pulpit. That's why we set it there so that they can receive something and they can be told, and myself included, "No, you're wrong. You need to change it." We can't always be going around and trying to coddle everybody. We live in a generation of everything is yes, 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 yes. What about saying no? What about saying no to some things? That's what hard preaching produces. Say, "I'm not going to say no to sin." Man, I can remember growing up in my home, my parents, they were the king and queen of no. Everything was no. Dad, can I go over here? No. Mom, can I go with my friends over here? No. Can I stay the night over here? Eeny, meeny, miny, no. It was just, everything was no. Trying to get something, what I would do is I'd make that classic mistake, is my friend wanted me to come over, wanted to do something, but it was that day. I knew that if I had to ask for that day, it probably wasn't going to happen. I was trying to get something through Congress with my dad. I was like, "Dad, can I go over here? I want to go with so-and-so. We're going to go do this and this." "Well, when do you need to know?" "Well, I kind of need to know right now." It's like, "Yeah, probably not going to happen." Oh, man, I knew it when I was approaching it. I'm glad that my parents said no to some things. Parents today, may I encourage you, for your teenager, it's okay to say no. For your child today, it's okay to say no. It may be the best thing for them. Our teenagers, our young people, they don't need all the latest things. They don't need the cell phone. They don't need the unlimited access to the internet because they can't handle it. And I dare say that we cannot as well. But you can't put a weapon like that in their hand and expect nothing to happen. Oh, everything's going to be fine. No, you're not preparing them. You're not preparing them for what the devil is out there doing. The devil is out there as a roaring lion, watching, seeking whom he may devour. But sometimes we just want to say yes because we don't want to go through the process and the agony of saying no. I know that hard preaching produces soft hearts. And some people might say the preaching that we have at a teen event, it might be a little bit different. I was able to go to a youth rally years ago, and we had a man from our church. He drove the bus, and he came out, and they asked him, "What'd you think?" He goes, "Is that preaching always like that at these teen events? I mean, that was different." I said, "Yeah, it is different. It's very hard. It's very direct." No, I didn't say that. What my youth pastor said, "It's very hard. It's very direct." But I want to say today, those of you that would look and say, "You know what, we don't need that hard preaching." I'm reminded in the Bible that Jesus used illustrations. Jesus talked about a mustard seed. Jesus looked at a dead fig tree and talked about it and said, "This is the illustration." He pulled a young child up and said, "Suffer the little children." Whenever we have what we call preaching, hard preaching here, and these men, they tell stories and use personal illustrations, and people find fault with that, I'm like, Jesus did that all the time. Jesus did that all the time. He used personal illustrations to get a heavenly thought across. That's what a parable is. A parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. So don't knock hard preaching, because we're going to have it. And if you want to knock it, we're still going to have it. We're going to have hard preaching. I also know why we have a youth conference, number four. I'm almost done. Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Pretty basic tonight. 1,000-plus teenagers singing, "I love the old Bible," singing, "How great thou art." We'll sing some different songs as well, but we'll sing a lot of songs from the hymn book. We'll sing a lot of songs that you and I would sing in a church on a regular basis in church. Songs, hymns, and spiritual songs. I had a man tell me one time, I just went to a youth event, and it wasn't a Baptist church. It wasn't anything Christian about it. He said, "You know, they had Christian rock music, and it was just amazing to watch these teenagers worship the Lord." I thought, that can't happen. That can't happen. Because you can't mix what the world creates in their music and what God wants in his music. You can't do it. You cannot do it. We're going to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And by the way, that's a part of our heritage. I often look and see a teenager that is consistently not singing. And I look and I think, you know what? I need to pray for that teenager. There's something wrong with their heart. They've got a hurt. They've got a trial. They've got something that they're going through because they're not singing. Parents, watch your children. Watch your teenagers. If they're not singing, there's a reason why. Number four is psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Why do we have a youth conference? To provide a godly atmosphere of fun. Did you know we can have fun in church? Oh, yes, we do. We have fun all the time. And we're going to have a lot of fun at youth conference. Man, we're going to get to come and watch the skits. We're going to get to come and watch Brother Kissel, try to get those lines right, and we're going to have a good time with that. Brother Kissel, he's a hard worker. He's been in these skits for years and years and years. Why would he do that? I mean, he gives up a lot of his time, and all the guys that are in the skit crew, why would they do that? Because they're providing a godly atmosphere of fun. We can have fun at church, and it's important that we show young people that. It's important that we show teenagers, look, all the fun isn't had to be held out in the world. All the fun isn't out there. We have fun in a different way, in a way that honors God at youth conference. We have youth conference to sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. We have youth conference to provide a godly atmosphere of fun. And lastly tonight, we have a youth conference because it gives the people of North Valley Baptist Church an opportunity to serve. What's our theme this year? Serving the Lord. What area of service can you do for youth conference? Maybe you can pray. I'd encourage you this week, pray for the next generation. We have to rescue them. They must be delivered. They must be delivered. Maybe you could sign up for one of the tasks. Maybe you could put your hand to the plow. Maybe you could come and you could run a vacuum. Maybe you could come and you could do something that would be of use for youth conference. I know whatever it is, sign me up. I want to be a part of youth conference. I don't want to miss anything that's going on. If I find out that I missed something, oh man, I just feel terrible. I should have been there for that because I don't want to miss out. That should be our attitude for church every single week, but that should definitely be our attitude for youth conference. It gives us an opportunity to serve. I had to challenge you this week, do something for youth conference. Why do we have this? We have youth conference to rescue the next generation. It's very true. Youth conference is for that young person that comes in that has no hope, that has the scars on their arms of cutting themselves, that has the marks of sin on their body. Yes, they're going to come in, they're going to sit in our pews, and we welcome that. Yeah. Youth conference is for that teenager that thinks no one cares and has a suicidal thought, that thinks it'd be easier just to leave this life because nobody loves them. Well, they're going to see real love. Amen. They're going to see the love of Jesus Christ at youth conference. That's why we have it. There's a reason for every single thing that we do in life. And these are the reasons we have youth conference.
Thank you for listening to the audio preaching podcast from North Valley Baptist Church in Santa Clara, California, led by Pastor Jack Treiber. For more information about our ministry or to find out how to get in contact with us, visit our website at nvbc.org. May God bless you as you serve Him this week.